Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. My name is Brandi Stankovic. For anybody that hasn't met me, I'm an organizational change consultant, and I'm also a mommy of two little beefcakes. And today we have a very special episode. We're talking about this thing, life balance. Or is it really life balance, or is it just life? And we have a pretty amazing guest speaker, subject matter expert, awesome woman on this planet. And her name is Sarah Kanipa Bang, and we'll get to know her a little bit shortly. So join me as we begin our discussion on life balance. So I want to talk about this thing in life balance. It's something that always comes back to the forefront of, for me, every year in regards to New Year's resolutions or goal setting or anything like that. There's always some sort of effort of having some fuller whole life or whole self in that. I lose myself in the work and efforts that I have as being a mom, as well as the work and efforts that I have in my career. And so having a little bit broader sense in that of maintaining my spirituality, maintaining who I am as a human being, is constantly coming back to my forefront. And so today's episode, we're going to talk about that. And of course, we're going to do it in our three segments. The first is the Learn segment, as you know, a leadership challenge. Today, life balance. The second segment is the Love section, and we'll talk about relationships, because let's face it, relationships are everything to business, and it gives us an opportunity to talk to our subject matter expert. And then, of course, the third segment is the Kick-Ass segment, because you can't leave here listening to this podcast or finish doing what you're doing without doing something about what we're talking about. So getting out there and making things happen. So let's just face it. I think life balance is bullshit. And so the reason that I frame it so kind of harshly or in that way is the fact that I just find it to be somewhat baloney, and the fact that I only have one life. I only have one life. I don't have a work life and a home life and a party life or any of those kinds of things. I do those things, right? But I only have one life. It's how I choose to prioritize that life within that. And what I mean by that, or way I see that play out, is if something stressful were happening at home, like if my work, my home, things that were happening at home was stressful, or there was an interruption or something that happened, it would impact my work. I mean, come on, I'm not a spy, right? I'm not able to compartmentalize. And the same is true with work. If something crazy is happening at work, I can't help but sometimes have that energy inside of me when I'm at home. Now, I may try to move on from it, leave it at the door, do all those things. But at the end of the day, it is who I am. I'm still that same human being. And so if work is draining, for example, then I won't have the energy at home or in those different other parts of my life. Now, you may have heard this story. Ken Blanchard is one of the places that I've heard it, but I know several different authors have shared this in the reference of rocks, right? So if you picture a bucket, and there was this professor that was showing an example on time management and broadening and balance and things, and he had a bucket, and he put a bucket up on top of the table. Maybe you can picture that. And then he picked up these big rocks, and he put all these rocks into the bucket, right, till it was very full to the top. And then he asked the group, is the bucket full? Right? And everybody's like, yeah, a bucket's full of rocks. And then he went down and he picked up smaller rocks and he dumped the rocks in and shimmied it, and all the rocks kind of fell down. And I know several of you have heard this story, but kind of stick with it to see this broadened perspective from it. So all these rocks kind of shimmy down to the bottom of the bucket, and he asks the group, is the bucket full? And everybody's like, I'm pretty sure, having a tough time understanding now. And then he picks up sand, same thing, fills it up. And then he picks up water as the last one, fills it up all the way to the top, asks the group. And they're like, yes, now for sure we're confident that the bucket is full. And he goes, what's the moral of that story? And some very sharp, you know, young person says, well, you know, no matter how full you think your schedule is, there's always room for more, you know, in it. And it's like that's a good, sharp answer. But that's not the frame that he was speaking about in this moment. And what he's saying is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you're not going to be able to get them in. Meaning that once you have the water in that bucket, once you have all the other things that are in that bucket, you throw a big rock in, what happens? Psh. Right? It splashes, it overflows. And think about that from the frame of life. So what are the big rocks? If you don't have something, you know, your family and your work or the big things that are important to you in your bucket first, from a balance standpoint, then something occurs with a family member, something occurs with one of your children, and it will disrupt everything. right? And because it's hard, it's impossible to kind of maintain the fluidity within that. And so really, from my perspective, it's all about identifying the big rocks in your life and really integrating social media and integrating your work and integrating all these different presence that you have in life within that to be able to give the opportunity and have that whole perspective. There's certain authenticity in that. There's certain kind of acceptance of what your value system is within that, and really just understand where you're at so you feel confident that the time that you're spending on this planet, because it's so short, is it not? Can you believe it's Thanksgiving, you know, here already? I mean, it's amazing to me that time flies in the way that it does, but it's about understanding, feeling good and confident about making sure that your big rocks are taken care of. The final kind of piece in that I want to share before we bring in our subject matter experts is the idea of the role that stress can play. And what I mean is that in our emotional intelligence discussion, if you had the opportunity to listen or watch that podcast, we talked about the fact that when stress is present in the body, that non-essential functions of the body stop, right? And one of the major non-essential functions in the body is your immune system. And so when stress is present, you get sick. Well, what happens when one of your rocks isn't in your bucket? Right? There's a lot of stress in that. If something were to happen to bring in, there's splashing, there's overflowing, or there's lack of balance in that way, there's a lot of stress that's in that. And then your immune system isn't active. If your immune system isn't active, then we're sick, right? And then we're not getting anything done for any of our rocks. And really, it's this idea that understand the role that stress can play in this balance and what you want balance to look like. And I also kind of struggle in that regard, or what brings stress to me is this concept of the quote unquote working mom. And I do a lot in women in leadership, as our subject matter expert does as well. And the fact that, why do we even call it a working mom? You know, no one would say you're a working dad, right? If you're a man that's listening to this and has a job with children, that people don't use that term. But because I'm a woman in this job front and with my children, then I'm a working mom. And so there's also the pressure that I put on myself in balance, having to do with what I think society thinks I should do. So not only what I think I should be doing in regards to my family and my life, but what I think society thinks that I should also do on top of that. So all of these pressures when it comes to balance play a role, and that in itself is stressful. So the little story that I want to leave you with as we transition is about my little guy, Andrew. So he just turned 4, literally, you know, a few weeks ago, and he's the most delicious thing in the world. But when he was about a year old, he was a little sick under the weather, and I was holding him in my arms, and I was sitting in his room, kind of next to his crib, rocking him to sleep, you know, and that type of thing. One of those moments, a special moment between him and I. And in my head, because I had to leave on a trip the next day, in my head was running through all the things that I had to do. I had to pack. Where am I going? Did I check in for my flight? What do I? I don't know if any of you guys have a brain that works like that. That's just constantly turning and turning. And so I'm sitting there thinking about this stuff, and I look down and I make eye contact with Andrew, and I'm looking into his eyes. And again, he's a baby, and he's just staring right at me. And I thought, in that moment, there is no place that he would rather be than right there in my arms, looking at me. And I thought to myself, and I'm not even here with him. I'm physically here with him, but brain wasn't there with him. And that to me was a moment of aha, that I sat there and I lived and gave myself fully. And that to me is that balance, is life balance, is understanding that when you are in the moments you want to be there fully, to be present, to be alive, to be there and share it with the people that are important to you. So I'd like to formally introduce you to somebody that's very special to the industry in which that I've worked, but also just in energizing the lives of so many people across the United States, in the world. Her name is Sarah Kanipa Bang, and she's the EVP of Industry Relations at Co-op Financial Services. But she's also a creator of many things, one of which is a kind of a community or branch or arm of the Children's Miracle Network. It's very dear to my heart, Cranes for Kids. But she's also an artist and a dancer. And, you know, and it just, you are a creator. So welcome, Sarah Kanipa Bang. How are you?
Thanks, Brandy. I'm not sure everybody would consider me a dancer. I like dancing, right. But there are a few folks out there that would just say, why are you hopping around like that? So, but I love it, and you can't stop me.
Right? So great. So from your perspective, how can a leader incorporate the whole self, or what does that mean to you?
Well, from my perspective, and I completely agree with you on the notion of there is no such thing as balance, I like to think of it as proper integration, mm-hmm. you know, and I describe it this way. I met my husband when I was working at the Credit Union National Association.
Really?
If I'd had balance, You know, I wouldn't have dated him, you know, but I integrated and we got married. So, but, you know, I think becoming your authentic self as, yes. as far as a leader, you just got to be who you are, mm-hmm. you know, and 30 years ago when I started in my, you know, real career, it wasn't cool to be a girl, a mm-hmm. woman, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, all the women were, trying to be like the boys, mm-hmm. and this is just me, you know, they were trying to be more like the boys. And I said, you know, I make a really rotten guy. I've got to be a woman in business. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to be Sarah Canepa at the time, Sarah Canepa in business. Mm-hmm. So it was all about, you know, how do I come in, be my authentic self, mm-hmm. Play the game, because a lot of times there's politics and things like that. And people aren't going to like you if, you know, you're authentic, mm-hmm. you know, there are some people out there that won't like that.
It's true.
But you have to, but if you like yourself, mm-hmm. It's not a problem. So
what kind of hassle or kind of discrimination or judgment or challenge have you had in kind of opening yourself up or being more authentic in that way?
Well, there have been times when, you know, somebody will look me up and down and go, that's an interesting outfit, you know, and I'll say, you like it, huh? You know, and then other people will say, you know, I wouldn't have the nerve to wear that. And I'm like, you like it, huh? You know, but usually I think when people think about me, they think my brand, I try, you know, to, let me just say this, clothes are a paradox. They cover you up. And they also reveal you, right?
Interesting,
right?
Yeah.
And so I understand that when I'm putting on my brand, my clothing, everything, it's part of my armor mm-hmm. to go out there and face the world. And again, I'm declaring who I am. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is really terrific about this approach is that because I kind of get out there with my clothing, my shoes, you know, mm-hmm. the drill. people who I don't know will come up to me and go, oh, awesome shoes. You know, I 9 times out of 10.
Draws attention.
Yes, uh-huh. It draws, but in a good way. It becomes your social. I was describing this to someone else. It's my social currency is that you can talk to me about what I'm wearing, my jewelry, my shoes,
that's
my clothes.
Yeah.
It gives people an entree who don't know me to come up and say, you know, love the pin, whatever, you know.
Right. And so. But what a massive jump, if you think about business, the IBM business of years gone by, right? What a massive jump from a male-dominated, more specific kind of realm to somebody that's willing to just be out there.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, certainly didn't resent the guys and all of that. I worked for a guy who came up through the ranks in the IBM world, and he was white shirt, blue jacket,
suit,
red tie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great guy. And he'd never, you know, look sideways at the way I was dressing. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I was that out there either.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right, right.
I mean, it was just, I just didn't want to be one of the guys. I wanted to be me.
Unique. Yeah, yeah. I love that. Yeah. So how does that play into the whole self? You've done a lot to pull in different artistic sides of you into the things that you do, and even the efforts that you've led in collaboration within the industry or within Children's Miracle Network, all of the above. How have you incorporated that whole self, or what's your balance in that way?
Well, interestingly enough, you know, you mentioned the Children's Miracle Network, and what we have is called the Credit Unions for Kids program, which is actually the third largest fundraiser for Children's Miracle Network.
So amazing.
It's killer. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely, little credit unions all over the country, virtually half the credit union movement is raising money for children's hospitals, 150, 160 children's hospitals across the country. When we started it in Oregon and Washington, it was also being started in Texas. I mean, there was kind of this, what's that called, synchronicity, where it was being developed at the same time. But we took it national.
That's so amazing.
From there, because it was absolutely the perfect storm for building camaraderie. And you talk about this integration or balance. This is something that credit unions for kids is something that any staff member can get involved in.
Sure.
Right. You know,
philanthropic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every There are a lot of golf tournaments out there, sure. And you know there are the wine auctions, and we love those, but not everybody can afford to contribute or go to those, but anybody can, get involved. They do bake sales, they do car washes, they do, cookie sales, I mean, the whole nine yards, and then lately, we have been trying to intersect our thriller, and you did it one year.
Yeah,
you did
last year.
We've been trying to annually a group of friends and I do what they call Thrill the World. Mm. It's the worldwide simultaneous performance of Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Thriller, I love that.
Don't you love it? And it is one freaking hard dance. And oh my goodness, don't look at that. I look like I'm wearing gold diapers. I am actually Glamour Girl. Our theme this year was superheroes.
Superheroes.
Superheroes. And I was Glamour Girl, but I look like I'm wearing gold diapers. So I needed to get a little fashion advice.
Oh, I know these moves. This is so great. Yes. Not just for wedding receptions any longer.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I had this wonderful group of friends, and I said, okay, guys, we've been dancing this for years. We're participating. Let's ratchet it up. Let's do a fundraiser for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
Yes.
And last year we had about 25 dancers, and we raised, with the match from my company, Co-op uh-huh. Financial Services, we raised $25,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, that's incredible.
And doing what we love and having fun.
Yes.
And everybody gets to be on camera. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of credit union CEOs in that crowd.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
And there's one board chairman there in the back.
Perfect.
Yes. So it's pretty exciting when people, and I have a wonderful story about this, because
please.
when we first started this Thriller thing, mm-hmm. I'd sent out an email to all my friends, and I said, listen, guys, we can't just keep getting together on Friday nights and drinking, I mean, that's what we were doing. And I said, this is just bad for us. Why don't we try and do this Thrill the World thing?
Yes.
Let's try to do it. So I got everybody together. Mm-hmm. I was surprised I had about 30 people show up to start practicing. Mm-hmm. And it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was really...
It's a hard dance.
It's a hard mm-hmm. dance to learn. And I had one woman the next day send me an email saying, I am never answering another email that you send out again. And I quit. And I said, okay, Loretta, you can quit, but you still have to come to practice. You still have to come to practice, because we're going to learn this. I mean, it mm-hmm. took us, we're not the greatest dancers, but it took us a month of practicing practically
wow.
every night to learn
great
this dance.
Too.
And Loretta, who, she was going to give up right after the first, mm-hmm. the first rehearsal. At the time, Loretta was something like 50 pounds overweight,
wow.
right? And she couldn't lose, all the time I had known her, I'd known her for 4 or 5 years, she couldn't lose any weight. And once she started doing this, and then shortly after our big performance, she had dropped 50 pounds.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it wasn't so much that's really hard exercise. There's mm-hmm. no two ways about
right.
it. But the issue was that she didn't quit, and she stuck with it. And I think she showed herself that she could do hard things.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of achievement in that.
Yeah.
So you've brought in dance, you bring in the philanthropic side, and you're also an artist. How do you maintain that? How do you keep that going? Well, because your career has not stopped, since you began as well.
Yeah. I will be honest that I have my months where it's all dancing. Mm-hmm. I'm putting together dance videos. I mean, they're really mm-hmm. bad, but we're putting together dance videos. And when I'm working on that, I don't go out to my studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of do the creative stuff in spurts.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to do, 10 minutes of painting, 20 minutes of piano, and mm-hmm. 30 minutes of dancing. And it just doesn't work. There must be different mm-hmm. parts of the brain mm-hmm. that I'm accessing. So I go full bore when I'm doing the videos. I'm full bore when I'm doing the painting. I mean, mm-hmm. I can get up early in the morning and not leave my studio until I have fuzzy teeth,
right,
at the end of the day, it's like, well, where'd the fur coats on my teeth come from? Because I haven't gotten up. I haven't even gone to the bathroom because I'm so engrossed.
Into it, yeah.
Right. Right.
So that's cool to kind of balance it in that way, in a sense.
Yeah.
So to just choose one of those avenues. But I know what you mean as far as it using different parts of the brain. I can relate to that. So what's an experience or a disaster that that you've survived that you, you know, think you could share for...
I've had so many disasters. And I think people who put themselves out there tend to have them. But in the end, it's not a disaster.
That's true.
You know,
it's learning.
It's learning. It's also... Here's my big one. I was slated to speak at a convention in front of 3,000 people. Where was it? Moscone Center in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jacob Javits. It was either one of those. And it was New York City. So Jacob Javits. And I was up on this stage and they had it, the Phil Donahue setup, you know, where you're sitting in a lounge chair and then they had you get up. And I thought, well, I'm in New York City. I'm going to wear fishnet stockings.
Oh.
You know, I mean, they were subtle, but they were very, you know, stylish and sophisticated. So it came time for me to speak and they wanted me to come to the podium, right?
Uh-huh.
And I get up to walk and my fishnet stockings get caught on the chair. Oh, no, I'm not kidding. I mean, there are 1,000 people out there who can see what's going on.
Right.
And the others are like, what's wrong with that woman? And I'm dragging the chair with me.
I'm like, wouldn't come off.
Oh yeah. Well, and I'm trying to pretend, and it's like, okay, you gotta own this,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
So I unhooked it. You know, I looked at the moderator, and I said, I bet you didn't think that was gonna happen. And suddenly, I was everybody's friend.
Yeah.
You know,
made you human.
So yeah, it sure did. Yeah,
oh, that's awesome. So share with us a takeaway or an action that people can incorporate to really, you know, bring back this full circle, whole self. Balance.
You know, I think the challenge that a lot of people have, it's the Loretta challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we're so good at our businesses and what we do that we expect to be perfect when we take that first piano lesson. You know,
yep.
We're adults, the kids are out of the house, I'm going to learn to play the piano.
Right.
And it's hard.
It is hard.
And so my advice is, you know, don't expect to be good at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with it. And if you do, you will get good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after 8 years of dancing Thriller, you know, I show up in gold diapers, you know. So I can tell you that it takes a while, but it brings such joy, you
mm-hmm.
know. And when I can finish painting, I just finished a painting that I am so in love with.
Mm.
And I couldn't have done that 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you have to practice.
Yeah.
It's just like anything. You got to practice. So stick with it.
Love that. One of the things that I've heard you say in the past that has always stuck with me is about, and you have a certain term for it, and it is about doing the stinky jobs too.
Yes.
So it's like the idea of, so not only trying new things to see with, but also be willing to do what others aren't.
It's my manure theory of keeping your job. Yeah. It's because after the... after the apocalypse, who's going to be left? It'll be flies and cockroaches. Why? Because flies and cockroaches can live on shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can live on manure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really ugly thought.
Yeah. But, yeah. The visuals are coming.
Yeah. That's really not very ladylike. But when you're in a difficult, you know, if people are looking to lay you off,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to lay off the person that deals with the most difficult customers.
You're right.
They're not going to lay off the person who steps forward and says, yeah, I will take
it.
Out the garbage mm-hmm. and call the meanest, you know,
yeah,
scariest.
Bender or whatever,
yeah,
huh?
Exactly. So they're, I mean, you've got job security, but you also build up, because if you can take the crummy jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you this, that most of the jobs that I've had, I've been hired for, it wasn't a job that anybody else wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, after you do it for a while and you stick with it, and you're good at it, suddly it's a job that other people want.
Have.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it is. So anyway, yes, it's my manure theory of keeping your job.
I love that. Thank you for that and all of your little nuggets of insight and for being
Thank
here
you.
With us today. So let's go out to our shout out.
This is Matt Severson coming at you from the top of Mount Charleston outside of Las Vegas, Nevada. And you're listening to Brandy Stankovic on the Strategic Hot Box. Keep climbing.
I would say there's nothing more than, you know, incorporating that whole self or life balance than climbing to the top of Mount Charleston. What an incredible view there from that shout out and Matt Severson. I also want to give him a special shout out or love in the fact that he was my very first, you know, friend that was out there that was willing to support my madness. That is the podcast and going out and giving me one of the coolest shout outs ever. So thank you to Maddie there in Mount Charleston. And thank you again to Sarah Kanipa Bang for being here as our subject matter expert. So now it's time to kick some ass. So this is our top five, as always, to leave you with some execution items, some action items to get out there and make a difference today. Number one is to prioritize. Sarah said it really well. Understand the things that you want to go after. And then from an extracurricular standpoint, she added on to that and say, pick which one you're going to focus on when you have the energy and focus to be able to do that. Then you can be there and be in it 100% or give it your all in that moment. And it's also kind of taking it back to that story of the rocks and things about prioritizing. Know what your big rocks are, so there's never a chance that they're not being, taken care of. The second is integrate life. I love that I love that you kind of brought about that. It really is that life integration. You mentioned about your husband and meeting your husband and you really integrating those two lives. And it is a journey in that way and a choice. It is a choice. So, can people achieve certain things that they want to achieve? Of course. And it just is a matter of what it is that you're going after. If you choose to have a priority that's different than somebody else's, you will have a career. So an example would be if two people have the same career and one chooses to spend more time outside of that career and doing extracurricular or home or different types of things, they'll have a different career experience than somebody that's living wholeheartedly and 100% on the job. They just will. But it's a choice. It's a choice about priorities and a choice about integrating what those different parts of life are. Number three is to be aware of stress. It sounds like fear is a big piece of that as well. Like the example with Loretta and the accomplishments that she achieved. And just be aware of the stress, the role it plays on the body, the things that the mental models that we force on ourselves, like mine and what I'm wanting to be in regards to a working mom and that type of thing. So just be aware of what stress can play in regards to this balance. Number four is exercise and breathe. I think none of us get as much as we need. And so really focusing on that. Dance, thrill the world. Yeah, her video, Sarah Kanipa Bang's videos are on YouTube. If you want to check those out, she's got a Sarah Bang YouTube channel, yeah. Right? So that we can share, that people can get out there and check out those videos. And you don't have to be good at it. I love that. Just go out and try. You don't have to be good at it. Just get out there and exercise and breathe. And number five is being present. The example that I gave of Andrew, in those moments that you are where you want to be, that limit the distractions, be focused in the present and absorb the moment. We've talked a lot in past podcasts about technology and distractions and all of that, but just be there, be in it, the whole self, that, and that becomes the balance then. So those are our top five kick ass. Thank you again to Sarah. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, where should they do that?
They can email me at sarahcbang at comcast.net.
Perfect.
Yes, Sarah with an H.
Sarah C. Bang at comcast.net. And we'd love to hear from you. Or just contact us and we'll get you in touch with Sarah as well. And you can do that at podcast@strategichotbox.com. Or hit us up on Twitter, Instagram at Brandy L-U-V, B-R-A-N-D-I-L-U-V. And be sure to add the show to your favorite RSS feed. And we'll just keep the episodes coming your way. You can always message us and let us know if there are topics that you'd like us to tackle here on the Hot Box and bring some subject matter experts in to do that. Any ongoing access, if you need some leadership tools or things like that, you can always pick up a copy of my new book. It's called The Strategic MVP. It's co-written with Mark Thompson, and it's available at any book retailer. So until next time, thank you again. Get out there and kick some ass.